Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, welcome to the Advice here on Blog Talk Radio. We got a pretty good show coming on today. I got two guests. One is Mr. Solon Black. He's one of the original brothers that was speaking against a lot of things that's going on in the black community. And I got a new sister that is coming on the scene. She's a very intelligent sister named Ptolemy. And the topic is, why are black people divided? And we really want to get into this show because this, you know, this needs to stop, and our people need to get more together and not get together for cooning and buffooning. So I'm going on and bring in the guests and let them introduce themselves. So Ptolemy, you're on the show. Sol, you're on the show.
Yes, I'm here.
All right, so Ptolemy, what got you to want to do YouTube videos?
Okay, what got me to want to do YouTube videos was I started witnessing a lot of hatred going on in the black YouTube community. And it was, you know, brothers bashing sisters and sisters bashing brothers. And it was all these beefs that were starting. And I used to sit back on the sideline. I've been on YouTube since 2008, but I used to sit back on the sideline and just kind of comment here and there. But then I started seeing this get out of hand, you know, and I'm like, man, people dropping people's documents and, you know, people's safety being at risk. And I'm like, this stuff has to stop, you know. So I decided to start uploading videos on my take on, you know, specific topics dealing with the community.
Okay. Well, so let me ask you the same question. What got you wanting to start doing YouTube videos way back in the day until now?
Well, what got me started on YouTube videos was just trying to address a lot of the problems that were plaguing our people. I mean, from issues with racism to gender wars to, you know, discrimination. I mean, all across the board, there was a lot of problems that I saw, and I was like, you know, then we had a lot of so-called empty gaps of those who were like, you know, black men who were like, who got stuff together, who was willing to go ahead and speak out to the young cats and help them get over the hump. So I felt as though I wanted to get out there and, you know, at least be one of those brothers contributing to, you know, the progress and not just to the negatives.
Okay. Now, I'm going to pose a question to Ptolemy. Well, you have a very unique name, so if I screw
it's
it up, please forgive
me. It's Ptolemy.
Yeah, Ptolemy. Okay, please forgive me. That's a different name for me. You know, I'm used to hearing names that don't even sound like names. So, you know, just forgive me. you know, the Laquandas, the Shatericas, and all that other stuff. So, you know, just forgive me.
I'm blessed that my mom didn't go there. You know, she tried to be a little radical when she named me. So I'm kind of blessed with that. But
yeah, that is a blessing. Now, I'm gonna start on the first one of the first topics. Okay, I'm going to ask you first, Ptolemy, and I'm going to ask Sol next. Why in the black community is it accepted to have this hood rat, thug, hood wolf, whatever behavior? Why is it accepted?
Okay. In my opinion, I feel like it's been glorified for a long time. With the birth of the hood rat, I think that hood rats, the emergence of hood rats was kind of glorified in the rap videos, some of the blaxploitation movies that were out in the early 90s with sisters shaking their heads and waving their fingers and having such bad attitudes and loads of makeup and hair weaves and long, extra long fingernails. And it became like this in thing for women to get outside of their virtuosity and want to emulate these certain behaviors and try to put on that certain image because they thought it was attractive. Okay, now with this thug thing, you know, you got a lot of dudes that want to prove their street credibility because you got these rappers saying, you know, if you go to school, you're lame. Like they got on Plies and questioned his street cred because he actually went to college. So he's no thug. Like it's this huge thing. Like you have to be a thug or a hood rat to have some type of street credibility. If you go to college, and I'm a prime example. if you go to college and you get an education, you got even people in your family telling you stuff like, oh, you think you're different, you think you're better, you know, you acting like a sellout, you know, you don't want to do certain things that we used to do anymore. No, because I've outgrown all of that. But there are some people that are in prison with this mentality, and until we start setting better examples and having higher requirements and standards for our people, I don't see any end to this anytime soon.
Okay, so same question. Why do you think the hood rat and thug is elevating the black community? Same question.
Well, one of the reasons why I think that the thug and the hood rat are elevated is because a lot of our youth today are more into superficial type of things, not really grounded into like really serious, beneficial, long-term endeavors. They're not interested in trying to go and do the right thing because it's not as fun. There's work involved. There's more attention to details that you have to apply to. You know what I mean? There's standards. There's morals that are high up. You know what I mean? And so it's easier to, you know, I guess scrape at the bottom of the barrel, you know what I mean, to like say, hey, you know, I'd rather be at the bottom of the barrel than actually have to face the rigorous standards being above that. You know what I mean? It's easier to fall back than fall forward, you know what I mean, fall above. So they approach it with, you know, glorifying thugs, which makes no sense because when you get down to it, who really wants to be a thug at the end of the day? You really don't want to be a thug because thugs end up in jail. They get killed. I mean, I don't know what the attraction is in that regard other than the fact that, hey, I mean, you know, for the guys, they're like, well, I get girls. So as long as these guys are getting girls, they're going to go follow that. I'm like, that's a level of immaturity. And then on top with the hood rat, you know, she destroys her femininity and the natural attraction that should be there for well-to-do type of brothers, you know what I mean, to say, hey, you know, I want to put you on my arm and I want to take you to black tie affairs and, you know what I mean, and wine and dine you or whatever the case may be. But I can't do that if you're talking to the waiter and acting all foolish and don't know how to behave yourself and, you know, don't know when to, you know, shut up or when to speak out or what to say and talking in some kind of language that people don't, I don't even understand what you talk about sometimes. So,
I get you. Yeah, you need a translator.
I don't know. What was that?
And this is the thing too. You know, you was talking about, you know, you were talking about education. You were talking about Ptolemy. You were talking about Plies. You were talking about, you know, these dudes basically want to dumb themselves down to get women or actually be accepted in the community. And I'm sorry what I'm about to say, and forgive me, but our people are really ate up literally with the dumbass.
Literally. I agree.
Because
that is accurate.
Why do you want to be dumb? I don't get it. You want to be the fool.
Cool. Because it's cool to be dumb. I got an example. My daughter's 13, okay? She's very intelligent. And her teacher was telling me, she said, you know, your daughter used to be very vocal in class. And now, you know, she doesn't say anything when I call on her. She just says that she doesn't know. And I know that she knows because her work shows me that. So I sat my daughter down and I'm like, why are you in class? You know, you're not speaking up. Your teacher's calling on you to answer the questions. And she was like, because they make fun of me and they say that I think I know it all. And they call me, you know, like smarty pants and they tease me and stuff, you know. So I had to break it down to her. And I'm like, this is a group of idiots that are trying to, you know, take your shine away. It's nothing wrong with being intelligent. At the end of the day, that's something nobody can take from you. You know, that's
exactly.
Something when you have power, when you have knowledge, you have power, you know.
That's right.
So you have to hold on to that. You have to maintain that. And you need to spread that to some of these little girls that you call your friends. You need to influence them with that, you know.
Well, see,
and I guess being dumb to me, I don't think it's cute. I mean, I know a lot of pretty girls that play the dumb role just because they feel like I shouldn't do anything but just be pretty and just shut up and not have anything valid to say or any input, and they can sit there and talk hours about nothing but shoes and purses. I'm like, really? Really?
Wow. I mean, that's like, and you know, that does spill into conversations with guys who are much more intelligent, or intelligent guys. I won't say, I'll just say intelligent guys. I mean, I can't sit there and have a conversation with a chick about clothes and shoes all day long. I mean, I need to talk about some politics, what's going on, what's going on in the world. You know what I mean? How do we, you know, build better? How do we do, you know, progress? Some, you know, more substantial combo. So it's like, you know, this dumbed down glorification is just ridiculous. And then they elevate it, though. They're enamored and in awe when somebody does a rap that's so articulate. I'm like, well, that's kind of like the opposite. That's kind of hypocritical. You want to be dumbed down, but then, you know, when they do a rap or something, then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I'm like, good.
Just so you're hitting the signal problems again, so.
Oh.
I don't know yet. But let me say something. I'm bringing these two calls in that's been sitting here waiting. My wife is watching that show, that crazy show with him. I think it's child abuse, that Toddlers and Tiaras crap. And they had a lady, she's a white lady, getting her daughter together. And she, you know, it amazed me what she told her daughter. She told her daughter, she said, you know what, when you grow up and want to get married, get you a nerd. Don't get you a guy who's a bad boy, because nerds have a lot of money and they're smart. I'll say, wow. I said, listen to this.
Never mind the fact that being with a brother or being with a man that can actually add value to your life and actually, you know, lead you, in a positive direction. We are like Brother Soul said, we are so enamored with superficiality and pretentiousness. So it's like, oh, forget all of the stuff that, all of the positive things that can bring value to your life. Just focus on him having money, you know. And this is where that harlot mentality comes in, you know, that Jezebel mentality comes in. You know,
oh, don't you go there.
Oh, yeah, don't go there.
I
was
tempted to do a video on that, but I didn't know if they could handle it on YouTube.
Oh, man. We still alive?
Yeah, 3685 you own and the 0763 you own.
All right. Let me break down something real quick, you understand, about the state terminology of thug. I kind of got that from Tupac. That's a positive. It's true hero under God, never ignorant, getting goals achieved, living in faith every day. And that's thug life living. You know what I'm saying? Everybody that's smoking weed and doing that ain't, you know what I'm saying, the definition of positivity. So you understand that? That's why, you know, I try to let people know that, you know, don't go that way, because that's not the real definition. That's what, you know what I'm saying, the world wants to define that person as. And I always use that as a positive in my struggle. And I understand why black people are always holding down other black people, because it's a program. It's a system. It's systematic. If you watch this TV, you watch these Tyler Perrys, you watch these sitcoms, you watch Family Matters and everything, this is what you see. Other black folks that's doing better than the other black folks putting other black folks down. It's so much symbolic to, it's subliminal.
Yeah, you know what, man? You know what you're saying about that? But it's like, that's one thing sometimes I really, not fear, but it's like you got to keep your distance sometimes from, believe it or not, from my people, because as you so slowly start to scale up, people's going to look at you, oh, shoot, he doing something with himself. And, you know, you're going to become a target eventually.
Yeah.
Right, eventually. But it gotten to a point where if you sit here and just analyze what your kids are watching, you know what I'm saying, just like what she said about, you know, being intelligent. When I was growing up, I was the weird one because, you know what I'm saying, I was the one that liked science. I liked studying. Now, you know what I'm saying, I didn't have to study for a test. I could just sit there and ace it. I could go to sleep in class, wake up and pass the math test. They didn't like that. Oh, this and that. And then I figured out I could rap and started writing poetry. All of a sudden, everybody likes that. And the message I like to give to the young ones is, just like you said, don't worry about that dumb bunch of females or that dumb bunch of group of people sitting there talking about you weird and a know-it-all, because those are going to be the same people that's going to be using your design of your website and what you're trying to do, or using a productive tool that maybe you came up with later in the future, you know what I'm saying, wishing that, damn, I didn't down that person.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you a question, Solomon, and because I got to get into both of these questions.
Go ahead.
Ptolemy, when it comes to, you hear videos, okay, or commentary, blogs, whatever you want to talk about, and they're directed talking about the negative behaviors of what some of our sisters are doing. Why when it's done, it's considered bashing? Why?
Okay. I would say that the sisters that display these behaviors, they take it very personal, okay? They realize that what they're doing is no longer attractive.
Hey, Tommy, hold that thought, Tommy. Somebody is listening to the show on a computer or something because I hear an echo as she talks.
Not me.
Not me. I ain't near it, you know what I'm saying?
Okay. Let's see. I find. Okay, go ahead, Tommy.
Okay, do you hear you still hear the echo?
No.
Okay. Back to what I was saying, a lot of women that are guilty of, you know, displaying these type of behaviors, that are living these, you know, these ratchet lifestyles, and that are just basically guilty of being what we call problematic in the community, they feel disrespected. They feel like they're being bashed. And a lot of times, whoever it is, when you call somebody out on negative behaviors, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And I've come to people personally and said something to them that I thought was helpful. And I mean, they went all the way off on me, you know. So it's only the people that are guilty of this are the ones that feel like they're being bad. Sisters that don't fall into that category feel the same way that the people who are talking feel, you know, because they're making it bad for other black women. You know, prime example, with a lot of the stuff that the brothers are calling the sisters out on YouTube, you've got men in other countries that are thinking all black women are ghetto, loud, angry, irrational, hood rats. So the women that are not like that, they're getting the rap too. That's just like when in the 80s and 90s the big male bashing thing was the craze all over TV and the talk shows.
Uh-huh.
The good brothers were being lumped in that category also. You know, the good brothers was having to say, well, look, you know, I went to school and got a degree, and I'm making six figures a year. I'm married my wife, and I'm at home with my children. You know, but when people who did not know that brother, they would look at him and already have a prejudgment. You know,
go ahead. Again, it's a program behavior. It's a program factor. You see how. You know what I'm saying? The causes of everything, especially with the women and stuff, they teaching, they're condoning pride, but they're taking away intelligence. We're condoning stupidity, but then we're taking away creative control. We're condoning BS to a point where, you know what I'm saying, look, it is cool for another man to call another chick a hood rat. You understand? Back in the 90s, it even goes so far into music. Because I told somebody the other day, you know what I'm saying, I say I don't, you know, really particularly like Gucci Mane because he made the word stupid cool. Because I say back when I was in school, if somebody called me stupid, I'd haul up a punch in your face. You know, that's just how I grew up. You know, them fighting words, just like calling my mom the B word or something. You call me stupid, you know, my grandma told me you're supposed to, you know, you ain't stupid, you ain't ignorant, you're a child of God. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, they're teaching pride. They're condoning pride to a much that it adheres to ignorance. And that's what the young women are seeing these days. And it's becoming fashionable because it's trendy.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
And
it just goes.
That's one of the biggest curses. We keep playing around trying to be in fashion and in trend.
Exactly.
Right.
Always the follower, never the leader. You know, we give all them people all our money on these name brand clothes. You know, Negroes got to have every name brand clothes. Like just the other day, Michael Jordan tennis shoes come out, the Olympic ones, and three people got stabbed behind some shoes that came out. I don't know how many times already. That's what we focused on, the tennis shoes. Niggas going to jail, getting stabbed for tennis shoes or whatever.
Right,
go crack open a book or get a degree or get a job. You know, check this out though. You ever seen Boondocks? Yeah, well, I never forget. Yeah,
I
don't care what y'all see. I love Uncle Ruckus. Uncle Ruckus said, "How can I get three jobs and a nigga can't even get one?"
Hold up. Uncle Ruckus do be having a point though, but you understand? You gotta listen to Huey. You gotta look at Huey.
Yeah,
pay attention to Huey's character. Yes, pay attention to Huey. Huey tells you the truth, and what they do to Huey, they call him a terrorist. They call him a threat to America. They call him this and that because he's intelligent.
Oh, man.
So that's what America fears. But let's go back to the trend stuff. I'm finna hurt a lot of feelings.
Hold on, brother. Quick second. Call the 7111. You on the show is letting you know. All right, go back to the trend.
All right, let's go to the Trayvon March. It wasn't about no kid. It was about Skittles and tea. It wasn't about the martyr of an innocent black child in the suburbs. It was about how trendy can we wear these Skittle jackets. You know, let's go out and buy Skittles. Let's get tea. You know what I'm saying? Most people have people didn't even know what the fuck they marching for. You know what I'm saying?
Now you bringing up Trayvon. Well, go ahead, Tommy. I got something to say about the Trayvon part.
Go ahead.
Okay, look. You know, I don't, yeah, Skittles and Arizona Ice Tea made some money out of that deal. Don't get me wrong. Yes, they did. But I'm going to be honest with you. Black people went march because they say, oh, a whitey has killed a black person and we ready for blood. That's what it is. But black people kill each other every day. We don't say nothing. That's why I can't stand by the Al Sharpton. Hey, Jesse Jackson. And
they're
Al Sharpton, all down there when by Zimmerman, but in Chicago they're killing each other every day, and black folks are doing it, but they ain't saying a word.
Exactly. But
hey, did you guys follow Al Sharpton? Do you guys watch MSNBC Politics Nation? His little show they gave him.
I got limited TV participation right now because I'm like,
every now and then I look at it just to see what his ass is talking about. And he talked about this Trayvon Martin thing when it was hot. But now that we need to keep this thing going so that we can get justice, it's like now that it's not a hot topic anymore, he kind of just dropped it. You know,
it
improved his ratings. You know, his ratings were up when it was a hot topic, but then when it kind of died down, he dropped it.
Let me kill it first
about
of all. I didn't believe in Al Sharpton at the march in the first place because first of all, okay, let's go back even further. They killed Troy Davis. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, we ain't never been together. But all of a sudden the NAACP actually went out there and they stood and that kinda made me proud for a moment, just to prove that it don't matter how many numbers we got, at the end of the day, that crooked judge still gonna bam us. You know what I'm saying?
Give me a second, brother. Hold on. BC Watson 80, you on the show, letting you know. All right, go ahead, brother.
Yeah, it's going. How you doing?
Still going to bam us, no matter what. You understand? That just proved that we really had no power because they had no right to kill Troy Davis. But instead,
we
did come together.
One of the reasons why we don't have power is because we don't own a lot. We need to own.
Exactly. We don't own a dog.
You can't influence them without ownership. And we got mad numbers of people who can't wait to race to get this apartment. I'm like, why are you trying to get an apartment? Why don't you try to get a house? Oh, a house? That's like serious responsibility and all that other stuff. I want to be able to get up and go when I want to go. I'm like, look, you got to set roots in to actually be able to influence and affect your community. If you don't set no roots in, you can't influence or change anything. And since you ain't a taxpayer, they ain't hearing you. I'm just going to tell you right off the bat. They can't hear you. You can make all the ruckus and shout all you want.
The reason why we don't have any power is because we don't want it. That's the truth.
Exactly. I agree. I'm gonna tell you why I think we don't have no power too, because we're scary and we used to white people owning everything. We happy with that sort of thing. Cause I'm gonna give you an example.
See,
look at the NBA lockout when that happened. Okay, all them brothers could have said, you know what? Screw you, David Stern. We're gonna start our own league. Forget y'all.
Right.
Nope, they didn't want to do it, and they got the money and the supporters, everything to do it, but they won't do it because they want to play and skip and tap dance with David Stern. They all do it. So from the top,
it was some revolutionist. It was some revolutionist told me on Facebook, and a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, almost banned me for it. And you know what I'm saying, it was just something I had to post. The white man with power is running whatever the fuck he want to run. A black man with power is trying to, you know what I'm saying, take down his finances by any means necessary. So basically what he was saying is a black man with money is always trying to destroy himself. White man with money is trying to find ways to invest. And that's what they are teaching, you know what I'm saying, our children on TV. That's what they're teaching, you know what I'm saying, these so-called intelligent people. That's what they're preaching, you know what I'm saying.
The
commercials about rims, beer, liquor. Rock,
yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? Swag.
Okay, hold on a second, everybody. Call 4134. I'm just letting you know you're on the show. If you can interject if you want to. Okay, who's so? What you trying to say?
May I say something?
No, I wasn't here. That was wacky.
Oh, okay.
May I say, all right. The truth is this: me and Soul, we spoke about this last night on the phone. I just wanted to answer the question: why are quote unquote black people divided? The reason why we're divided is because we suffer from, words, mental retardation. Now, I got a dictionary.
Whoa.
I have a dictionary.
Oh, man.
Yes, we are mentally retarded. And let me open up my dictionary and define mental retardation. According to the Webster Second Newcott Dictionary, mental retardation is defined as subnormal intellectual development, either congenital, which is us, or induced by disease or brain injury. Like I said, in this case, it's congenital. Characterized broadly by deficiencies ranging from impaired learning ability to social incompetence. Now, check this out. When a brother, another brother, because he's looking at him the wrong way, that is an example of social incompetence. A person looks at you if they want to, it's their eyes. But you want to take his life away because he want to shoot you. That is social incompetence. That is a sign of mental retardation. When a brother says, I'm not working together with him because he's a Hebrew Israelite or he's a Moor, because he has his own personal beliefs, you are mentally retarded because you have not learned that anyone could have any belief that they want. Our people are mentally retarded. And until we realize that we are retarded and find the cure for this mental retardation, everything else will be
absolutely.
Well, they can't be too retarded. They can figure out how to operate the iPhone, and they know how to operate the computer.
Let me give another definition of retardation.
They smart when they want to be. No, I would call it selective mental retardation. They smart when they want to be. Trust me.
Let me give my definition of mental retardation. You know what I'm saying? Mental retardation to society is somebody that thinks completely out of the box now. That is the new definition in the streets. That is somebody that can think out of the box, that is not following these social trends, these social, doing their old thing. That is called mental retardation in the hood. Because
so
they're scared
most,
to
most
be.
Most of them say conspiracy theory.
Exactly.
More like your Alex Jones, them kind of guy.
Hey, like the advice you said, they not too retarded because they can operate the iPhone. Well, guess what? I've seen people with Down syndrome that could barely speak playing video games. So you don't have to be that smart to operate these type of things. You can still be retarded and operate these things. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's called repetition. Yeah. Repetition.
Exactly. Repetition.
Yeah, I think
I think what we're really talking about now is mindset. You know, like when I talk about mindset, it's not just the mentality. It's the way that you perceive everything around you. It's the way that you process information, and it's the way that you behave, and it's also the way that ultimately ends in the way that you live. If you have a distorted mindset, you're going to live an unhealthy life. You know, like I was listening to listening to Brother Soul earlier describing all of the different components of schizophrenia as it relates to black women. He was talking about a mindset. And when this brother spoke about mental retardation, I think that that's what he was talking about. You know, the mindset of our people. Until we start, you know, developing better mindsets and setting higher requirements and standards for ourselves and quit being, you know, consumers and be producers, we'll never get control of our communities again. We have to start learning how to work together, you know.
I think one of our biggest problems is two things. Stockholm syndrome is one of our biggest problems. We got like a sick love for folks.
I don't think it's Stockholm syndrome.
Stockholm syndrome
is dealing with, you know, when you turn around and love your oppressor.
How many black folks have done that? 68% of them.
Black people didn't naturally love their oppressor. What happened was,
they do.
So we turned around and took the tools. No, because you can take it right back to even the 90s, and we was a little more together, and we just drifted for a further part each decade. But what we did was we started taking the tools that they use, which is tools to divide, learn how to divide on our differences. And the two biggest differences now that we use to divide, I just got into it with a brother about this, is gender and religion.
Yep.
When you tell somebody that they're not right with Jesus or they're not right with the Most High or your Allah, everybody feel like their God is the right God. And you're going to piss whoever off who don't agree with you religiously.
Well, right.
And then gender,
right.
Like you're born in that gender. So what's the gender war about? Okay, I'm born
with
two. That's what I was given.
Let's kill something. I want to kill something right now on the radio. You understand? Malcolm X said, why are we slaves to this slave religion and this slave mentality? Christianity, I'm not going to down it, but in the fact, it has changed from when I was a child. It is now a slave mentality. If you don't have this and that, and you're going to church, you know what I'm saying, they look down on you. They pass rumors upon you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
if you tell them that you don't believe in Jesus, they're not trying to bring you closer. They're trying to shun you out. They're trying to send you away, and that's just not, you know, saying.
Right, so in relation to Stockholm syndrome,
don't get me started about the church.
Like talking about Stockholm syndrome, though, they're using that to push us to other races of people. It's not like that.
Right.
It just naturally was like, oh, shoot, white skin, let me go mess with them. But
right.
I mean, if you speak articulate as a brother now, they're gonna tell you that you act white anyway, push you over there.
But look how they tried to use the boy George Zimmerman to start a race war. Because that's
right.
All what it was about. That's all
right.
What it's about. That's why he's on bond. That's why he killed that little black boy in the suburbs. That's why, you know what I'm saying, the march. They're trying to use this to start a racial war.
Yeah, that's why he on YouTube right now asking for money.
I honestly don't believe
that. You seen that video, Zimmerman on YouTube asking for money?
Oh, he
got
money.
Check him out. This is the most disrespectful thing I heard
all day. Hey, hold on. Let me ask you a question. Where's all the black people going to flag that video down?
Right.
They're interested in that. A lot of our people are interested in practicing what I call isolationism. They love practicing isolationism. They want to practice it against the intellectuals, what they call bougie or know-it-alls. They want to practice that with them. Then you got the various different religious organizations. I'm like, okay, listen. Look, the bottom line is, we all in this together. We all floating on the same ship. And if we don't get this worked out and become unified in some kind of basic civil manner, that's all we need to do is produce a civil bar that we can say, okay, look, this is our rules of conduct. No matter who we see as a dark-skinned, light-skinned brother, sister, whatever the case may be, these are our civil conduct rules that we can conduct ourselves in, and now we can go ahead and progress. Let me help you out. You help me out. I don't believe what you believe, but, you know, that's okay. I know you black. You're going through the struggle I'm going through. So let's go ahead and help each other. Rise up. Let me help put some money in your pocket. You put money in my pocket. You help me build my business. I help you build your business. We do all this kind of stuff. Other people in other nationalities and ethnic groups practice that. We can't practice it because, you know, we're too busy trying to be everybody. We got too many in the black community. One of the problems is we got too many people who want to be chiefs. And not enough want to be Indians. They don't want to be supportive of nothing. They want to be on top of everything. You can't be on, we all can't. There ain't enough room on the top. That's why it's narrow when you get up to the top. It's like one slot.
Hold on, everybody, can I get a word again?
Oh, who's speaking? Hello.
I was going to let the brother speak. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you. And mostly, like, I'm just responsible to what Soul said. Most of these so-called chiefs suffer from mental retardation. So how could you be a chief when you have mental issues? You know? Like, man, I'm not going to put no name. I'm sorry. No.
But it could be more than one top, though. Like, for example, George Bush was commander-in-chief at the top, that didn't stop other white men from saying, well, I can't be the top at this corporation over here, or I can't be the top of my household, and we'll still all work together. You don't have to be the very top to feel like you're at the top.
No, exactly. We don't. And you're right. There's levels and places where we can find our spot at the top. You know what I mean? It could be at your job. It could be at your home. It could be in your congregation or wherever the case may be. But the bottom line is you shouldn't be, you know, those at the top in other places work together. So we should be able to work together. Even though I'm at the top of this, you at the top of that, you know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything for us to not be able to work with each other. There's nothing saying that can't be done. But we keep saying to ourselves, no, I got to have it all, be it all. You know what I mean? And I'm like, no, you can't have it all or be it all. Real talk, let's be realistic. You're one person, you're not going to be able to pull all that off. But what you can do is, though, work in agreement with those other tops and even those in the middle and on the bottom to actually move us and propel us to a better place. And if we would just decide to do that and stop coming up with, I got to be the top dog. No, you don't have to be the top.
I want to interject something after you finish.
Oh, go ahead.
What's up?
Look, you said something about one thing you brought out, and I'm gonna push this. You're talking about family. I'm gonna say most of the leadership is not happening in the home. First of all, you can't get that right. You out there, you talking about you want to lead a company, lead this. If you cannot lead a household, how in the hell are you gonna lead a company? I mean, because in a household, you learn how to budget, you learn how to manage, you learn how to take responsibility for your actions. They're going to affect other people besides you. You know, you can't act right in a relationship. And really, a lot of problem with a lot of black women today is that these men don't know how to be leaders in the home. All you know how to do is just be a king ding-a-ling all day. That's all you know how to do. You don't know how to work. You don't know how to save. You want to go put 20s on 85?
Well, they choose the guys who are not leaders, though, so that they don't have to listen to those guys.
Yeah, I get that.
Can I speak as a female to that, please? Can I please say something?
Okay.
Yes, sister, please. Go ahead. Lay it out.
Okay.
Lay it out.
I'm going to tell you what the problem is with black women. And one of the biggest problems with black women is pride and ego. This is why they choose men that are not up to standard, because they feel a certain level of control. If they have a man who's not making as much money as they're making, if they have a man who is living in their house and he has his name not on one bill, and she's holding the lease to the car and everything, she's in control. This gives her a great grand feeling. This gives her this great grand feeling. If she was to be with a man on her level, that would require her to be a real woman. And sisters don't want to be a real woman. Sisters want to be in control. Sisters don't want to play their gender role. They want to be in control. So this is why
what I heard is a lot of sisters want to be baby girls. Now that's crazy. I want to be a baby girl.
What is a baby girl?
A baby girl. What the hell? You want to be a baby girl?
What's that?
What happened to you wanting to be a woman? I mean, I remember the song, you know, I can cook up the bacon, bring it home, and put it in the pan because I'm a woman. You know, she's talking about a woman. Where did the game switch up that I want to be a baby girl? Well, I missed that. I lost that because I'm trying to figure that out. And that's that. What I started to realize is that's that thug culture, hood rat. They got a whole new set of words that they got out now. Baby girl's one of them. I'm like, why do you want to be a baby girl? I mean,
well, baby girl, that's nice putting it. Most of them have to be in a baby mama.
let me answer that one. That's not thug culture. That's not real thug culture. Because like I said, a thug, again, is a true hero under God, never ignorant, getting goals achieved, living in faith every day. That's not thug culture. That is stupidity brainwash that they have put upon these women. The reason they want to be baby girl because look at what they see on TV. If that man's flashing and he got enough cash, they want a piece of him. They don't want to try to, you know what I'm saying, that's why relationships are failing and marriages are, you know what I'm saying, separated because nobody wants to work from the foundation anymore. We already want an already built house. But you understand, females, when you walk into an already built house, what do we need you for? What
absolutely
are you needed for?
I agree.
You understand?
I agree.
That's what, I've always said this. I want a sister to build with. Build
exactly
with.
Ooh, that's,
you know what
that's
I mean? I'm not talking about a sister that I built it, and if she came in, because when she comes in, she has no investment in what has been
exactly
put out.
Oh, I'm glad. Oh,
right.
Boy. I talked
so I'm like, see, the problem is nobody has any risk. There's nothing to lose with an already built house. You understand? Because either, you know what I'm saying, you coming or going, I'm still going to have this built foundation for the next. And these females are not getting stronger. They're getting weaker by, you know what I'm saying, like I say, the TV, the brainwashing, and what they see in these rap videos and music these days because they don't want to, you know what I'm saying, work for anything no more. And that's just the same as the black male. We don't want to work on anything no more. We already want stuff handed to us. That's why it's a lot of dudes getting women pregnant just to stay in their house because, you know what I'm saying, they're scared to work for that foundation. I was raised in the 90s under my mama when she said, you know what I'm saying, look, ain't nothing like having your own money. And ain't nothing like being a man because you can make your own decisions. A lot of dudes ain't doing that. They dependent on that woman or that woman dependent on that man, and that's what's falling short. And in this nation, we're supposed to walk hand in hand together so that
absolutely
way we have something.
Let me tell you something. Let me say, I'm sorry to interrupt. May I say something? Let me say, we complain about the so-called black woman and stuff like that, right? There's an easy solution to pull all that mess behind. The men, the so-called black men, have to come together spiritually, mentally, economically, socially, politically, and be in a strong position to put their foot these women's you-know-what. And when brothers come together
the thing
and
about
real
that.
Mess, hold on, brother.
You
hold
can't
on,
do
brother.
That.
Hold on, brother. Yes, you can. You got to stop being scared.
But here's the thing about that.
I'm not done yet, brother. I'm not done yet, brother. When you do that, these women will fall in line because I'm going to tell you this. It is natural in a woman's spirit to be submissive. A woman can front as much as she wants. It is natural for a woman to be submissive. You as the man have to be the strong man to do that.
True. I feel you with that.
Can I respond to that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll fall back. Go ahead, man.
Here's the thing about that. Men are not going to be able to come together on one accord with women in the building. And this is why various organizations, man, don't even let women in. They have their own separate thing because men will start competing with each other.
I'm going to interject after that.
Just to get that. And that's one of the reasons why the dudes might get their money up and tell other guys that it's not important because they figure, I'd rather have 10 women and you have none than all 10 of us have one woman. You see what I'm saying?
Let me interject real quick with black men, bro, with women, man. It's like, man, life ain't all about women, bro.
Real talk.
Let me interject. First of all, We the only reason I say we cannot do that because we're supposed to meet in the middle of the road. You feel me? Second of all, we still forgetting something. Women are the strongest creatures on earth. I don't care what nobody say. Women are the strongest creatures on earth. They produce child. You know what I'm saying?
That ain't enough.
Birth. That's a very strong
person. I give them strength on that, but that ain't enough.
When it comes to strength, they mind is like a steel box when it wants to be. You feel me? So when you do try to come together with your woman and she's set on something, that's it. Point blank.
Yeah, so
what we need to do.
I have to disagree with that as a woman. Because you got some sisters that when they're in a healthy relationship, it's not about them. You got some very selfish sisters. If your way makes more sense to her, if she's smart, she's going to follow your lead. okay? Now, I've been set on opinions in the past, and I've had, you know, the guy that I was with break it down to me to the point to where I could see that his way was better. It wasn't an argument. It was just a sit-down discussion, like, this is why this way is better. And he was right. You know,
and
that's what I'm talking about.
Okay, let Tommy Lee finish, and what I'm going to do is let her finish. But it's some things I really need to get to her and Soul about. I need to really get in, and other people kind of want to hear some things they're saying on a few things I need to ask them. But after Tommy Lee finish, what I'm going to do, I'm going to mute everybody except Tommy Lee and Soul, because I need to ask the question, and I bring everybody back in a little later in the show. Okay? Tommy Lee, you can go ahead.
No, I was just saying, you know, there are a lot of sisters that do want leadership. They doing their own thing. They got a lot to bring to the table, and I'm one of them. And I got a lot of female friends that I'm in acquaintance with that are the same way. You got a lot of brothers that back down from that responsibility because they're not ready. You know, if a woman's coming to the table, she's got a game. She's gainfully employed. She's got stuff to bring to the table. She's got a plan. These brothers will talk a good game and say, oh, yeah, that sounds good. But when it's time to deliver, he's falling short. So it goes both ways. You know, some guys, they'll say that this is what they want, but when they're put in that situation and they're faced with the responsibility of building and maintaining, not just building, but maintaining and then growing, not just being complacent with what we have, but let's build off this, they're not ready for that responsibility. So what do you have to say about that?
Well, Tommy, let me ask you a question on that. It's like a brother like myself. I'm a brother that always thinking about, I always say it, I may have been born poor, but I'm not going to die poor, okay?
Right.
And I worked hard, and I went to school, did my career. You know, I do good in my career. You know, everything else I'm doing on the side is because I'm just trying to branch off to other things, and thank God I have the ability to do that. But mm-hmm. when I was trying to get to the point I am now, or whatever, man, sisters didn't want to hear no talk of anything I had to say. And I hear women like you, or a few other sisters I've talked to online, or men on YouTube, or different places. And it's like, why can't brothers meet women that talk like you, or the other sister I had on the program before, Kimberly J98, or different, you know, sisters like that? Like, why can't we meet them? It's like, y'all always meet the dudes that's the sagging guys and whatever else that won't do nothing. And then we always meet the hood rats. I mean, why? Why does that keep happening?
I know why. We outnumbered.
Well, I guess so.
I ain't going front. We outnumbered. I mean,
I get passed up for the hood rat a lot. I don't take that personally. I'm like, if that's what you want, dude, if that's what you want, brother, then you're not what I'm looking for anyway. You know, because I'm not the fun girl. You know, I'm the girl that's like, okay.
Well, what's defined as fun, though? What's defined as fun?
Like going out all the time, hanging out, you know, that type of thing. I'm about business.
But see, let me tell you something. Hold on, but yeah, see, I'm like that too. Cause like my version of fun is like, you know, okay, cause we working together, we a team, we do what we do. It's like, hey, baby, look, I got some plane tickets. We going to Vegas this weekend, or we going to travel to Bahamas, or we going to do this, we going to do that. That's fun.
Right.
Going to the hood club,
that's fun.
That's
fun.
That's what I'm
about.
That's the level I'm on. But these brothers don't see that as fun. They want that fun girl that can party. She can smoke blunts with them. You know, she can get drunk with him and his friends think she's cool, you know, and I'm the lame chick, you know. All I want to talk about is, okay, where do we go from here? Let's do this, let's do that.
Yeah, let's make something out of life.
Then we can plan a fun vacation or something, you know, a weekend getaway, you know.
Real
but,
talk.
You know, they want these hood rats. That's what they want. These hood rats are quick to give it up. I've been celibate almost a year. You know, once brothers find that out, they take off. They be like, oh, no, I can't deal with that. How long do you think I'm supposed to wait for you? You know, that's
hey,
the first question they have.
I got the answer to that one, too. You married. When you married, get that. You ain't married, you ain't getting none. Period.
Right.
Point blank.
That's how I feel.
Point blank.
That's exactly
yeah,
how
that's
I feel.
It.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You ain't married, and that's why a lot of sisters are running around with baby mamas, no rings on their finger, hood rat or whatever, It don't make a difference because they're too busy opening up those legs. And I keep trying to tell them, close those doggone legs.
So you, they don't know the power they have.
I'm gonna say this much about the sex part. Now I gotta tell you. Because black women are not the only one out there that's giving it up either. I can tell you from personal experience that non-black women, they start making you, they will require a little bit more out of you sometimes. And a lot of sisters right. just happy sometimes just to have a man, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's the problem.
Well, see, that's because, for one, a lot of them, I think, have come up without man training. Let's be real.
The single parent home has destroyed a lot of the things that should be right now.
They don't have any man training, so they really don't. What I call, they don't have the natural, the necessary interpersonal skills. The interpersonal skills that go long term, that go into longevity. They don't have that type of stuff. So they're kind of like everything is so fast, it has to be done so quickly because during a period of long time. You start to see, wait a minute, I ain't really feeling that. How you carrying it like that? No, that's not working with me. Your personality's got these pet peeves that I'm not really feeling. And all of this. So once you start getting down the road and you start discovering the true person, you're like, nah, I'm not really feeling that. So I got to keep it moving. You know, ain't nothing personal. I mean, I ain't mad at you. Whatever you do, you. But I'm not feeling that. And then of course, now you're not. There's brothers like myself. Oh, well, you gay? No, I'm not gay. I ain't got nothing to do with gay. I ain't even trying to get into your legs like that. I want to know who you are. The real you.
And that's what I don't get. Why is it? What is it by the gay? You always gay. If you ain't trying to get in your pants, you're gay. If you ain't got kids, you're gay. What is this gay? Everything's a gay. like black women need to stop calling black men gay and punk. That's why they have so many kids. It's like they say, look, you know, if the guy don't have kids, he's gay. So he said, let me go find me a hood rat and go get me a couple of babies. That would say, look, black woman, I'm not gay. I got 7 kids. You know?
That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
And still, some of them niggas are still gay, too.
Hey, I got gay friends, and they pointed dudes out to me that I would never think.
Oh, yeah, they had that gator on.
Oh, they looking for that. They zoning in. Yeah, let me get that, homie. How you doing?
I'm like, back up, homie.
We don't need that. Go your way. Go. Get out of here. Because my stomach is turning right now. I don't like that. Get out of here.
They had the sister today sent me a video called Homo Thugs. This is this black chick rapping about dudes as thugs, but they chasing men. And I'm like, I had to laugh at that. I said, man, she wrong for that, dog. She wrong. But I said, you know what?
Come on,
man.
Black women who can't get good, decent men, they blame everybody but themselves. It's the white women taking our men. It's the down low brothers. It's the gay dudes. You know, they in jail. You know, and they just say there are no good black men. Now, I haven't given up hope. I know there's some brothers out there. They may not be in my immediate location, but I know they're out there. You know what I mean?
Well, so the problem is we got a lot of sisters trapped in the mid-80s and the 90s. That's the mid-80s, my 90s. Mindset, so to speak, as far as I'm concerned, because at that time we did have a lot of brothers going to jail, of course, because a lot of them were doing dirt. So when you do dirt, you get in trouble, you go to jail, and then you got a lot of problems. That was one little aspect of our history, but they act like it's been going on since the 50s or somewhere back in the 20s, and I'm like, whoa, it ain't been going down like that. We had a problem back in the day when brothers was going after that fast money, fast women, and fast lifestyle, which progress to what we got now. It's got worse. So I'm like, okay, now you guys are acting like we're still there. We're not there. There's a lot of brothers who've already acquired careers, got education. You know what I mean? They're doing their dizzle. And, of course, they're corny because when they come over to you, you know, oh, he ain't got no rap. I'm like, no rap? What do you mean I just said hi? Well, what am I supposed to be doing? You know what I mean? I'm supposed to, what? You know, get out on my knees. I'm like, what am I supposed to rap to you, break a song out of? I mean, what's the deal nowadays? I mean, it's crazy now. I'm just like, okay, can I just say hi and we go ahead and carry a conversation? Is that too much? Okay. You know what I mean? You know, but that makes too much sense. So I'm sitting back and I'm like, okay, so I have to act foolish and do all this stuff. I mean, the only time I see dudes really get foolish is when they do proposals. Well, like, I'm going to ask her to marry me. So you might do some crazy stuff like that, but just to come up and just say hi, what's happening, and try to get to know who you are and what's going on, I don't see any reason why we got to get all foolish and start doing all that. That doesn't make no sense. That's just like, okay, I don't understand. Sisters, what's going on? I mean, and I don't want to talk, I don't want to get too much on the sisters, but I'm just going to say this. They got to really change their ways of doing things. Real talk. They got to do it. Because I see these other women do the same dude who may be corny, you know what I mean, supposedly, he says something hi to this other lady. She's like, oh, hi, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. And they start conversation. Next thing they're out on the date. Next thing you know, who knows? They're rubbing pelvics and they got kids and they married. I'm like, dang, oh, wow, that was quick. He's like, yeah, I don't even know what happened. We just, boom, you know, just, it just worked out for us.
Let me say something to that. Black women are too concerned with what other black women think about the types of men that they choose. Like, I got friends that are, they'll be like, girl, is he cute? And you'll see another chick be like, ugh, he is lame. He looks busted. And she won't talk to him anymore. You know? She won't talk to him anymore. But you see a guy and then this swag thing that they got out now, he's all swagged up. Oh, they swoon over him. He ain't got nothing going for himself. Can't even buy her a cheeseburger at McDonald's. You know what I mean?
That's all they got is swag most of the time.
But that's
all they got. Let me get this straight. So you guys have been reduced down to, I'll just take a dude with swag. I'm not going to take a dude who's got his act together, who's got an education, who's going to be moving somewhere, who's trying to establish a family, who's got serious moral values, you know, spiritual connection. All that get thrown out. We're going to put swag at the top. Since swag on the top. And I'm like, this swag only lasts maybe a good couple, 10 years, tops. And then what happens after that?
Well, it's like this. I'm going to tell you the difference between the status thing. We all love status, but our status, when it comes to our community, our status is the swag couples, the ones that swagged out. That's why you got these celebrity couples that people look up to that's always swagged out. In other communities, status means your societal level and status, where you know, kind of family you come from, what kind of education you've gotten, you know, what kind of
businesses,
what your
enterprise.
Monetary value is. That's what other women are attracted to. Other women of other nationalities are attracted to a status on a whole nother level. It's all about accomplishment and monetary status, all of that. Sisters have reduced themselves to being worshipped by the ass worshippers and being hood rats. And these brothers,
they love the Simpson mangina. That's what they love.
The Simpson manginas ain't winning. The Simpsons getting played, okay? The manginas are getting played. The dudes that are playing the sisters are the ones that's getting the love. The ones that's dogging them out, those are the ones that's getting the love. I've seen girls cry, chase dude, almost tear their cars up chasing this dude because he got another girl in the car. Like, seriously?
Yeah, that's that Stockholm syndrome that he's talking about. That's the stuff that I don't get. I'm like, wait a minute. You going back to an abuser? For real?
Right.
You in love
right.
with a dude who's abusing you. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm like, something wrong with you. I know something wrong with you.
Hey, Tom, I got a question for you. It was actually somebody from the chat room had wanted to know this. They said, were there ever a time where you thought being a hood rat was cool? Or did you finally realize one day is a dumb lifestyle? That's what they want me to ask you.
I will be honest with you. When I was about 18 years old, I was hanging around all the thugs, all of the hood rats. And this was back in 93, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was, you know, thinking it was all cool and stuff. And when I started to see the negative effects that it has on people's lives, like I had a friend of mine get locked up for her boyfriend. Now she can't get a job. You know, all of this type of stuff I started paying attention to, and I got away from it. I told guys when I was dating at 19, 20 years old, if you sell drugs and if you're in a gang, I'm not getting in your car with you. I'm not going to jail. I'm not getting shot at. I'm not doing any of that. I've never been attracted to thugs. I've always had hardworking men in my life that actually had some substance about them that was able to teach me about life, you know, like my daughter's father. He taught me to drive. He taught me to cook. He taught me to hold down the households, how to fill out checks and pay bills, how to, you know, fill out money. I didn't know none of that stuff until I got with him at like 20 years old. He actually added some value to my life, you know. So, yeah, it was a time when I thought it was cute and thought it was cool, but I quickly learned that, and plus I'm from a family that wasn't going to have it. They like, oh, no, you're not bringing in these kids and you ain't even got a high school diploma. No, we not having
that. I say, well, thank God you didn't realize that 3 kids later. You know, like a lot of these females realize 3 kids later, then if a man say, you know, well, I really just don't want a ready-made family, sweetheart. And they're like, oh, you know, forget you, nigga. And I'm like, well, no, I'm just saying, you know.
My kids come first. Well, if your kids come first, don't you realize you wouldn't have kept having them because you're making them have to go without. You're making them have to be deprived of basic things that they need. And, like, when I had my first child at 23, I knew at that point, I said, I can't do this and do all of the other stuff that I'm doing to give her a better life. You know, I can't. The only way I could is if I was to get married and my husband just absolutely had to have a biological child. That's the only way I would even consider it, you know. And since I didn't get married yet, that never happened.
Certainly you celibate, so that definitely ain't going to happen no time soon. Okay.
I love it because you know what I've learned? I've learned for the first time in my life, and this is really sad because there's a lot of women out here who still don't know. I've learned that I have so much control over my body, and it's so empowering. You know, it is. So I don't care how much I like you. You're not going to talk me out of my panties. You're just not going to.
Look, Tommy, I'm going to be real about something, Tommy. Look, let me be real with you. You know, it's like people going to have sex or whatever. That sex is not the problem. It's a responsibility. Like I say, you got, what, at least 30-plus forms of birth control for women and maybe three forms for men?
It's not about that.
It is about that.
It's not about me getting pregnant. I'm not talking about you.
I'm not talking about you personally. No, not you personally. I'm just talking about a lot of sisters in general that's having all these babies. Okay, it's like everybody Catholic or something that don't believe in birth control.
Nah, because it's
most black people are
back to
the
baby's mama
anyway.
These dumbass sisters don't want to be. They don't want to be responsible. I'm like this. When I was out there, you know, with my boyfriends, you know, dating, and we were, you know, intimate, I was responsible because I always had my own condom, just in case he didn't have any. You know, just in case. You know, I'm going to have me a box of condoms in my purse. You know,
I always kept myself strapped up because I said child support is a mug. I'm telling you. I don't know how these dudes do that. You know what I'm saying? I pay child support because I was married, you know, to my ex-wife. I had one child, so I'm paying child support on that one child. And, you know, I pay a grip in child support. Yes, I do. Okay? Hey. So that paying that much child support I pay, it made me say, that's it. I ain't having no more kids. I have a son. So I can change my name. I ain't going to die. Get that child support.
I'm with you. I have one son, and that's it. I don't have a tribe running around and nothing like that. One at a time. And we got divorced. I had to pay child support. Thank God it was only 4 years, so it was no big deal. So I was like, okay. But even still, I'm like, I was okay, though, economically, so I wasn't really worried about that. But the thing about it is, I don't understand these cats, man. They dropping babies, like, everywhere. I'm like, good golly, man.
Well, you know,
Molly,
well, you
know
why
cats,
they drop babies everywhere?
Like
six kids, seven kids,
and they ain't married? What the hell?
But these hood rats, they daddy. I'm talking about, you know, Mr. White Man. It's providing food for them. It's providing shelters, providing all this stuff for them. That's why a lot of these black women don't respect black men anyway, is because Mr. Charlie provides for them and black men don't. Now, that's a lot of the problem.
Well, that was part of the conditioning. That, like I said, I feel as though that came out of 1985 from the mid-80s coming up forward, because it wasn't really like that before. We had more people, I don't know if you guys are pretty older, like in my age around that area. So I know you guys got to see, we used to have communities. We used to have, you know, you could go to the park and you could meet with people and you didn't have to worry about stuff. And then then bullets start flying, and there was family reunions and all kinds of, it just started going crazy.
Yeah, I remember that. I'm 33, so I remember that back in the 80s.
Did the crack epidemic have anything to do with all of that? Right around that time?
With the crack epidemic?
Yeah.
Yeah, the crack hit by mid-80s or so, mid to late 80s, crack hit the black community. And it just did us wrong, real wrong.
That's when sisters started getting real out of control. You know, sisters were on that crack. They weren't taking care of their kids. They out in the streets having sex with any and everybody to provide their drug habit, you know.
Yep.
And this is when brothers started losing a lot of respect for sisters. They started pimping them out because in the 70s, you would always see in the Mac and all that, they had white prostitutes. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Then brothers started just losing respect for the sisters and was like, hey, I'm putting her on the track, you know. And sisters just lost their minds at that point. And that's what
all right, Tomlin, what I'm going to do, give me a second. Tomlin, what I'm going to do is call us 6643. You're on the show. Do you have a question? Well, I guess they took off. Well, I'll bring another call. Bring another caller in. Caller with the number 3456. You're on the show. You got a question? Hello, you're on the show. I guess they don't hear me. Caller with the number 3456. You got a question? Well, okay. I'll just go with this.
Mm.
Caller 0763. Do you have a question? 254-669. You got a question? I guess nobody got questions now. Oh well.
Oh, well.
Okay. I'm trying to get people back in on the questions or whatever. They still on the line. Let's see. I'll try another one. Caller 4134. You're on the show. You got a question?
Yeah. Can you hear me? Okay.
I can hear you great, brother.
Okay. My question is, the men could chime in too, but definitely to the woman. Where do we go from here? In order, I mean, I know it's a Navy term. I used to be in the Navy. It's easier to turn around a frigate, which is a small ship. But what we have is a giant aircraft carrier, and that's harder to turn around. So where is the turning point for us to go back in the right direction?
I think it has a lot to do with brothers just basically taking back their basic rights and just saying, look, you know, you can only help pick up somebody that wants to be helped and picked up. But then you got a lot of sisters out here. And like the brother said earlier, if y'all start leading by example, sisters will soon fall in line. Because most of what we do is for your approval. You know, when it was cool to be hood rats, that's what we were. When it was cool to have blonde weeds like Little Kim and stuff like that, that's what we did. So if you guys were to start leading, taking back your power, taking back, you know, your right to say, look, I'm the leader of this community and I want to take my community back. Those that don't want to fall in line, fall back, you know, and sisters will soon follow lead if they want to be able to coexist with you.
Yeah, see, I touched on that same topic in the video I did called Boycott the Hood Rat, because that's what I feel we need to do as men. Boycott the Hood Rat, cast them to the side, only get the sisters that got sense and want a family, they want to live right and have a sense of community, and those women will either have to get right or fly out. But at the same time, we got to have ourselves together to get ourselves with a career, education, or business, or whatever, to get with this woman, because a lot of times, you know, these women don't believe in you unless you show her consistency. And this is something I believe in. You got to be like Michael Jordan, fourth quarter, consistent in your relationship with your woman, especially when you're married. You got to constantly putting them bills being paid, constantly not worried about the cars breaking down, constantly putting food on the table, constantly doing all this other stuff. A woman have no problem helping you as long as you're consistent in everything you're doing.
You have to be consistent.
That's how a woman will submit to you too. I'm telling you from experience. If you constantly consistent, she has no problem submitting to anything you say.
Yeah.
Because you're the leader of the house, you're not the fool of the house. I mean, a lot of these dudes want to run these women and tell these women, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. Like, nigga, you're not paying a bill. She paying all the bills, but, yeah, you want to run the house. You don't go to work. You're using her car all day while you running around playing Xbox 360. And you talking about she need to respect your authority? For what?
Well, that's the thing about – I'm like, I'm with you on that. I just believe that women really – we can lead. But like I said before, it's really not beneficial unless we build together. If we're
Absolutely.
Not really in it – if we're not in it together – I don't, you know, it's just not going to work out, okay? She's got to know how to play her position. I'm going to play mine. We are a team. We each other's benefactor. In life, we have to be realistic. Everybody's been experiencing this recession, the depression, and all the other stuff that's going on. We got to be realistic. Sometimes you're going to be on top, and sometimes you might fall out. That doesn't mean you stop supporting me and being, you know, being working with me, because when you fall out, I got to step into the gap and stand in there for you. You know what I mean? So
Absolutely.
You got to step in the gap when I fall down. You know, that's we got to be realistic. It's a lot about, I think a lot of black folks is not, they're not realistic about a real relationship. A real relationship goes through rises and falls. It goes through both. So you got to be able to, you got to deal with both of them. Okay, so
you got to
be able to say, it's like,
okay.
You know what I mean? That's how we get the proper balance. It's like, okay, I got a sister who's down. I mean, yeah, I lost my job last week. I'm out there busting my grind. But you out there busting your grind, though. Like, that's where I come in. I'm like, are you out there trying to do something? You can't be sitting on your butt playing Xbox and all that other stuff, talking about, yeah, I'm working. I'm trying to get some stuff done. Really? Seriously? Come on. Come on, man. Get your butt out there. Go try to get a job. You know what I mean? If you got to bust dishes, then bust the dishes. I don't care. Do something to say, look, I'm contributing to us. I'm not going to just keep on sucking it out here like a vacuum and not put something back. Until I can get myself back on point, this is what I got to do right now. Baby, I'm sorry about that. Until I can move to that spot, I got to hang where I'm hanging right now. And then when I get to that opportunity, or I have to get reeducated to get retooled for a new career, a new job, hold on, I'm working on this, though. But, you know, I'm still moving forward. You got to show progress. You got to move. You can't be sitting there twiddling your thumbs and then talking about I'm the man of the house. I just don't – that's crazy. I'm like, I don't want no woman to be submitted to that.
I'm a believer
like,
it is.
I'm like this from what I've learned. I know one thing that most men want, they just want a woman that's going to add value to their lives, make them a little bit happier, make them a little bit more fulfilled, make them – feel appreciated and needed. And this is why you got a lot of brothers that have a problem with sisters who are successful, because sisters think that that's all they have to be. Well, I'm successful. I got a degree. I did this. No, this brother don't care about all that. He just want to know what kind of value can you bring to his life. When he's with you, he's one. When you're away, he's a half of a man. You know, your goal is to complete that brother. You know, and that's where the togetherness has to come in. And if we're constantly working against each other, throwing up in each other's face, well, I did this and I paid that, and you didn't pay last time. And I mean, it's not going to be a togetherness there. It's a constant competition between brothers and sisters. And this is why our relationships are not flourishing. This is why we're not having family.
We can't be competing. We can't be competing against each other. We have to be competing with each other. For our elevation, that's
right.
What we're supposed to be doing. They got it twisted. It's like, I get to compete against you because I got more education. I'm like, no, you don't have to compete against me. I'm not supposed to be competing against you. When we first started dating, you weren't competing. If you were competing, I wasn't competing with you. You weren't competing with me when we first started dating. But now we progress. Now it changed into, now we got to compete against each other? Oh, come on now, that's crazy. We ain't supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to be competing with each other, not against. We compete with each other to achieve each other's goals.
Something you were saying earlier, you were talking about somebody sitting around the house. The biggest problem people have in relationships is that I think that when it comes to money and stuff like that, you need a hustler, female and male. It's like, for me, if a woman not a hustler, I can't fool with her. It's not about what she's doing for a living. It's about a hustler, because hustlers never stay broke. They can't sit around the house lazy all day. Like, for me, that's a turn on for a woman that's a hustler. It is. It's a turn on, like a woman with a pretty face or anything else that I like. It's a turn on. I say, wow, because I know in my mind, that chick will have my back if I get down. That's
right,
wonderful.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You gotta have a woman. It's like, look, she compliments. You guys compliment each other. That's what you should
exactly.
be doing.
Exactly.
You should be complimenting each other. It's like, look, when things go down low, I ain't worried about it. Yo, man, you ain't got a job. I ain't worried about that. Why? Because I'm trying to get one. My girl holding me down for a second. I got that. Then she'll come in talking about, damn, I lost my job. It's all right, baby. I got that. I'm holding that. You just go ahead and do what you got to do. I got you. Don't worry about that. That's what we're supposed to be doing. But
that's
now
exactly
it turns into, nigga, you ain't got a job. You ain't shit. Oh, whoa, whoa,
right.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. I've been knocking it off for 10 years. I mean, what's going on? I got hit. It's 10 years. I'm sorry, but I got hit. I had no control of what they said. They passed out pink slips to me and 10 other mugs. What do you want me to do?
This is why so many brothers have a false idea of what a good black man is. They feel like as long as I have a job, I'm not locked up, I've never been to jail, I take care of my kids, I'm a good man. No, you have all of the components of, you know, having the potential to be a good man. But what else is there that you have to provide? Are you capable of leading? Are you capable of nurturing a family and holding that family down and protecting your woman? Like, these are all of the components that makes a good man. Not because you have a job and you've never been to jail. That doesn't make you a good man. It makes you a smart man.
I agree to 200%.
It makes you a smart man.
You're trying to avoid craziness.
I gotta throw this in here because I'm gonna address this in the video too. Here we go again. We had another white lady come out with a video talking about how much she loved black men. And listen, before I ask this question, if a white lady likes a black man, there's nothing wrong with that. I have no issues with that for the right reason. But if you're constantly getting on YouTube saying you don't like black men for swag, you don't like black men for, you know, basically a king ding-a-ling and all that stuff, then, like...
That's what she talks about.
That's basically, and she was quite offensive if you heard the video. She was trying to say that black men are half horse and do the black women give them steroids and all this other stuff, and I'm like...
Okay.
Well,
I gotta watch that.
I'm definitely gonna address that video, but because I was asked to address.
I gotta do it too. I was gonna address that too because I was like, oh my gosh, come on, yo.
But the problem is not for me. It's not what she's saying because I've heard that many times before. The problem for me is all these black men in the comments section. If you just look at it, okay.
Yeah,
they go insane. I mean, like this chick passing out free food stamps or something. I mean, they happy.
What,
I mean, so happy that white people says that about them.
The thing about it is, those are what I call the thirsty brothers. Those are the thirsty brothers. I had a sister one time. She asked me for a ride because she was going to the park. And I drove her to, she said, can you stop by to the store because I want to grab some because this is a celebration. I want to grab a few drinks or something. So I dropped her off. Well, came on over to the liquor store, dropped her off, and she went and got her stuff, and she came out. She goes, what the heck is going on? These men act like they never seen a beautiful woman or something before. I said, oh, you talking about them thirsty dudes. The thirsty dudes, she goes, that's right. That's what they are. They're all thirsty. There's a lot of our brothers who are thirsty, and they're really just running around by the ding-a-ling. That's what they, that's not even a man. I call those males. Because they're just that's all they do. And when you start talking, they love to talk about sex. But when it's time for you to have a discussion, this is where men show up. When you start talking about substance, men start talking about substance. Boys or males talk about sex, and that's where they stay. Men don't do that. Men are like, we understand about sex. Ain't nobody got no problems with that. We understand that. That's what's happening. That's nice and all that stuff. But meanwhile, sex don't hold my relationship, and it surely don't hold me to no woman. So I need to have substance. And if she don't bring substance, I could care less how fat her butt is or how cute she is or how tight her waist is. That don't mean nothing because at the end of the day, she don't have anything that I can build on or to be benefited by other than the sex. I mean, what else is there to talk about? There ain't nothing else to talk about. That's kind of a bland conversation or a bland relationship. And that's why a lot of these relationships end up so quickly because the sex didn't dry up. Well, the sex didn't end
up.
This is my thing. It's why I brought it up to Tommy Lee is this. Now, a black woman could say the exact same thing to them that chick said, but they would dismiss it. But if she said it, oh, man, they just falling all over the place. So, Tommy Lee, how do you feel as a black woman when you see that?
You know what? I'm glad you asked me this question. Because there's a few brothers that I've been paying attention to, and they always want to throw up in the black woman's face, the white woman, yes, this is what you should aspire to be. She's so great. She's all this, she's all that, and you black women don't like them. You're jealous. I could care less about, you know, a brother being into a white woman. But don't sit there and be condescending and try to diminish me as a woman and my womanhood based on, you know, what you find attractive about this white woman. She's not a better woman than me. You don't even know me like that. You know, that's what you like, that's what you like. Believe, you know, leave the sisters up out of that. Now, with this white woman talking about, you know, the brothers' dongs and all of that kind of stuff, I find that kind of odd that these brothers think that that's a compliment. Because as a human being, if I was being sexualized like that and objectified like that, I'd probably have a problem with it. Because basically what she's saying is black men ain't good for nothing but having sex with.
Let me bring another point up to you also. They had a video recently come out. This rap artist, he's a white guy named Machine Gun Kelly, and he was being interviewed by a black woman. And he told her to her face that, oh, yeah, black girls give the best head. And the chick kind of took it back.
She had a smile on her face.
Now, if I, as a black man, would have got on that dog on YouTube.com and said black women get the best head, they'd have been cut head hunting for me. But he said you're smiling. Why?
Because we have a lot of...
We want to feel accepted by whitey. We want to feel desirable.
Yes.
By white,
exactly,
and this is why a lot of black women will accept being dogged out, and the first time I heard this, I had to Google it, and ghetto gag, and all that by the white dudes, and the brothers can't even get halfway in unless he got $150 to spend. But this white man is coming in, bust her down, and she gonna brag about it. My white man coming over here, he look at him, posting pictures of him all over Facebook, making YouTube videos, sitting next to him, gushing all over him, you know. And this is why brothers is having an issue, because they can't even get a quality sister that they can be themselves with. And here she is giving this man who did absolutely nothing to earn it all of this adoration, you know.
Well, see,
it's the same way with brothers.
It was funny. There was a special was done. And they were talking about why black women are single and all this other stuff. And they had these successful black women, and one of them was playing Beyonce while she was driving out of the car and all this other stuff. And then they had one of them went out on a date with a white dude. And I was cracking up about this because she was like, we had a great conversation, everything was going well, and I thought he was going to ask me for my number, and he didn't. And I was like, you know, one of the things was is because the way you carried yourself was not like a woman of long term. He didn't see wife in you. That's what a lot of these and this is what I'm going to say point blank for all those sisters. If a brother don't see wife in you, a white dude won't see wife in you either. Okay,
yeah.
An Asian dude ain't going to see wife in you either. Okay, it don't matter. Okay, what color? Because if they don't see those substantive qualities there, there's no need for him to go further with it because he's like, well, that was nice and everything, and he kept it moving. And that's the same
right.
White dudes that they'd be like glossing over and falling over and, oh, thank the Lord, and all that crazy stuff. I'm just like, why? I mean, because if what you should be focusing on is your substance. If you just do that, man, you could go a long way. That'll help out with us brothers, because us brothers who've been handling our business trying to find y'all, it's hard to find. It's like, I'm like advice. I'm like, yo, man, where they at? Because it's like a shortage. It's like, what? And a lot of us are saying there's not enough black men. And I'm on the other side. I'm with the other black men who's saying, I don't know about you, but this is a shortage of sisters. I'm sorry. I mean, I know there's tons of hood rats and ghetto gaggers and all these other type of chicks. Yeah, they're all over the place. Quality sisters? No, I can't find a whole bunch of those. Those are rare to find. That's what and I know when a brother does find them, he can't wait. I mean, sisters like, they're not asking us to get married. Well, if he finds you, you're on point. It ain't going to take long because there ain't too many of you.
You know,
it just ain't too many of you.
You know what?
Right.
One thing I heard your boy Avenue Rant say one time, and I agree with this when he said, an on point. No other woman got nothing on an on point sister. And that's the truth. I tell you that brothers will go through fire for a sister that got her stuff together and she's beautiful and whatever and she just right. He would, of course, one that got tense, of course.
Yeah, I would go through fire for a sister. I mean, she looking good, she handling business, she right, and she got a mind right. Oh man, it's on.
And what a lot of times black women don't realize too is that like a lot of the brothers, like when they go and date some, a lot of times, you know, other races of women, sometimes it's not because they just doing it off front. A lot of times brothers be like, oh man, I can't find a sister, so I'm gonna give other people a chance, and they find somebody that likes them and they just stick with them or whatever. But most of the time, I'm gonna say 9 out of 10, the sister's the first choice.
Well, yeah, that's always been my first choice. But the thing about it, I've always been about black first, and I had an interracial marriage. I was married one time to a white lady. But the thing about it was, I was on the hunt for sisters first. That's what I was looking for. You know what I mean? I was looking for that first. So I was like, okay. And then I kept coming across hood rats, crazy chicks, all of that. I was like, what the hell is going on? It wasn't like that before. It was like, I remember it was like plethora. We used to have sisters all around. It was like so many sisters. Brothers couldn't wait to get a sister. It was like now it's like, I don't know, man. You know, you're hesitant nowadays. And if you come across a sister who may have her stuff together, then you got to be concerned about, okay, she look good. What, and you like asking yourself a question, well, why is she married? What's going on? We got to ask all, you know, we're sitting there trying to figure out what the heck is going on.
Cause it's
I get that a lot. Yeah.
I meet a lot of guys, and they'll be like, you mean to tell me anybody wiped you up yet? You know, what's up with that? And I have the same issues that you have. Like, I run into these guys, they appear to be well put together. They appear to have it all, you know, that everything I'm looking for. And then you find out everything about him was a lie. He got about 5 kids he didn't tell you about, 3 baby mamas.
Oh, Lord.
You know,
oh, man.
He lied about what kind of job he had. You know, and if you're lying about simple stuff like this, which to me, I think, that type of information isn't, a person is, you know, entitled to that type of information. They need to know who they're spending their time with. And if you can be, you can lie about that, then I can't go any further with you, because I'm not going to lead you on and make you think that there's some kind of chance that things are going to turn around, because I've already lost trust in you. And I tell you all the time, you don't have to lie to me.
Whack world over. You on, dude. I told you in the chat.
Oh, I want to ask two questions. One, to the sister that's talking, are you on YouTube? Is your YouTube channel the Keep It Real Show?
No.
Oh,
my
I'm sorry. I'm not the wrong person. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
My other question is this. It's to all three of you, Soul in Black, Tomaly, and the Vice Show. Do you guys believe that these labels that we all put on each other, that we as so-called blacks put on each other, keep us divided? Like, for example, the on-point black man, the real N-I-G-G-A. Do you guys believe that these labels keep our people further divided?
No. Well, let's put it this way. Our black people who got sense, how about we put it that way? Black people who got sense, that ain't a big deal, okay? That's not something there, you know, it's not a problem. But I do have to say, though, when you start going into the hood culture, it becomes a problem, because, like, they start throwing the other things with it. If you're on point, then they start putting in, well, you're corny, or they put in that, you know, you ain't got no swag, or, you know, they'll come.
You'll sell out. You know,
sell out. That's the other one. Or a siddity or uppity or all that other stuff. And I'm like, why is it bad for them actually being achievers and excellers? I don't understand that. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. We find a way to divide. That's why I said this is it's part of our practicing of isolationism. We try to isolate ourselves with a certain little group because, for one, a lot of times when we do that, I find as though people got low self-esteem. They don't have their esteem the levels that they should be. Okay,
black people have a
like,
lot of esteem problems.
But I think that these labels are not just honed down to a black issue. It's a societal issue. everybody is, that's why they have demographics, to separate certain types of people. You know, this is why we have stereotypes, to identify with certain amounts of certain types of people by their said behaviors and their said statuses. Now, yes, this country is divided immensely, and it has been, but this is just not a black issue with the labels and stuff, because white people do it too, with white trash and rednecks and guppies, you know, and it's a societal issue. This is our way of identifying certain people.
Yeah, I would like to answer after that.
Go ahead, I'm done.
Okay, now he had asked a question about the labels. I was talking to a classmate of mine, and she had got her degree and everything, and her sister, and she was telling me the next step, you know, in her career, and she said, "Well, I don't know, because that field kind of dominated by white men. You know, I'm a black woman." I said, "Hold up, right now." I said, "Yes, black can be a small obstacle." I said, "But there ain't nothing you can't stop yourself from doing. You don't let nobody label you." I'll say what you can't do. I say, the only one to stop you is you. I say, so if you ain't doing nothing with yourself, it's because you chose not to. So when it comes to these labels, ain't nobody going to tell me what I can't do, period. Oh, you black. Okay, I go through that problem too. I say, if I'm from the original people, I can deal with it. We went through slavery. I can easily deal with the little crap you're throwing at me. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, real talk, man.
You know what I'm saying?
If we've overcome slavery... Think about it.
It's
little
stuff
they
throw at us now is nothing. And then it's like, that's why I can't stand a lot of our brothers sometimes. It's like, they a bunch of, they talking about they're so bad. They're talking about they're all these, they bossing up, talking about they're real niggas. Like, no, you a bunch of cowering babies in the corner because you can't even deal with somebody talking about you.
And
you know,
online.
You heard
they
about me, dude? Don't talk about me. You're like, you a bunch of punks, man. That's why
black
women are
punks. You look at a funky, then he's like, man, what? You got some beef or what? I'm like, dude, what's your problem? I mean, I was talking to this one brother. I said something. I was joking around about, yeah, I know you guys want to get into the shower, and I was talking about that. He's like, man, you know, I felt as like you were disrespecting me. I was like, how am I disrespecting you? What are you talking about? I mean, it's like everything is disrespect, or if you ain't kissing their ass, you're disrespecting them. I'm like, no, it's called joking and having a good time, man. That's all it is. And lighten up the scene or whatever. Calm down, man. What are you doing? You tripping, man.
Let me tell you something else. Dudes that got that kind of time, not doing nothing. Because like me, I got so much going on when I'm trying to, you know, work. All this stuff I got going on the side, I'm hustling a lot. I don't have time to be arguing with another brother or sister online. I just don't have that kind of time.
Right.
I mean, you could try, but I won't do it.
Right.
I've been in the battle. I've got plenty of time, so I'm already retired. So I'm just like, so I'm already straight. I'm like, and that's what I've been trying to do to guide my brothers to get them, you know, get them ahead. Like, you know, some of the other things, I'm trying to get them ahead, but, you know, it's a struggle because, you know, there's a lot of, Wacky and some of these other cats are different, okay? They're go-getters, you know, and I like go-getter brothers. The go-getter brothers, I ain't got really no problem with them because they're trying to handle business. But these other cats, they whiners. They're babies. I mean, they really
then
are
they
babies.
Get mad at you. Then they get mad at you when you're taking care of your business. You know, they want to call you white. They want to call you this. They want to call you that. You know, or whatever. It's like, dude, you sitting around not doing nothing. How in the world, why I got to be, you know, like, and if you use the word white as a cuss word, I don't care if you call me white. I'm a black man. I've been called almost every name in the book, nigga. Like, why white gonna hurt
me? Let me tell you about our people. I hire, and I'm a manager, okay? So I got brothers and sisters who expect to get away with all kinds of stuff, like coming in late, not calling, doing no call, no shows, because they got a black manager. You know what I mean?
No.
So when you write them up, they automatically say, well, you cut my hours. Yeah, you're not coming. You're not coming to work. You're not being productive. You gave that white boy 40. I've seen it on the schedule. Yeah, he comes to work, and he's actually productive while he's here. Why does this have to be why do you have to pull a race card on that? If you came to work and you were responsible and you handled your duties and you were productive, you would have a full 40-hour schedule.
Well, Well, see, sister, that goes back to black people not taking personal responsibility for themselves. It's like, if you don't show up at your job on time, you may not have one. That's why all that, help a brother out, this and that and other. Say, no, help me out and come to work on time so I ain't got to hear from them folks about you. Help me out.
Help me out. Tell her the truth, boy. I find it funny because when you put on responsibility on them that they should naturally have, all of a sudden now we got problems. You ain't black enough. I mean, this is the stuff that cracked me up. I'm like, dude, if you do what you're supposed to be doing, you get rewarded. You don't get rewarded when you don't do what you're supposed to be doing. I don't know where that came from. You're supposed to get rewarded because I'm black. Just because I'm black, I get a reward. I'm like, yo, homie. You earn your reward. It's like anything else, man. Earn your stuff. If you don't earn it, you ain't getting it. So stop acting like you're going to get a gimme. And, I mean, there's no gimme here. You're going to have to earn it. You can't get a job. You know what I mean? Earn it.
Well, you're talking about they can't get a job. A lot of times they can't get a job because they don't know how to fill an application properly and completely or fill out a resume. Oh, don't ask for a resume.
They don't even have a functioning resume. They don't even have a functioning resume.
I mean, you go to a job interview, dress for an interview right then and there because you never know on the spot to say, can you interview? With your resume in hand, with all your references, your addresses, everything filled out completely to the T. That's how you show up with a smile and a clean cut. Now walking there, it tripped me out. I see some brothers going and sisters going to interviews looking like they coming from the club. Like, white folks don't want to hire you to grow. You look like a club rat.
When they walk in my office, I'll be like, no, I already know. You don't even need to
Let me tell you something. Last interview I did was about, my business company, I guess 3 years ago, okay? I went in there. Well, I already did my stuff online, but I still brought another resume in hand. I had on slacks. I had on a dress shirt, and I was talking to this guy. I didn't even know he was a terminal manager at the time, and the white guy or whatever. I didn't use contractions in my sentence. I didn't use no lick of anything but clear, proper English. Looked at him directly in his eye and spoke to him. I talked to the guy a whole hour and had an answer for everything. I didn't BS him or whatever. And I got the job. A lot of black people get in there asking questions, well, what do you think about this? I don't know. Like, that's not an answer. That's why you don't get the job.
And around the room, and they be like, let me see. They're looking all over, no eye contact, no connection, no personality whatsoever. And they
Don't get ahead. Tell them, listen to the new Lil Wayne song. They know that word for word.
Right.
You know, Lil Wayne, I said that Lil Wayne is the king of the nigga kingdom now. He is the
nigga kingdom, huh?
Lil Wayne, you got to blame Lil Wayne and Ramen Noodle. I'm telling you, these people is crazy. I'm like,
Nicki Minaj is the queen of the hood rat kingdom. So, he got it. They want to be Nicki Minaj. All of them went. I can't stand to see some of these sisters these days putting these wigs on looking like a fool.
Man, I feel you
and
on that.
Eyelashes,
that's the other
thing.
Let's
talk about those eyelashes.
Oh, come on.
Eyelashes.
I'm like, and you wonder why a good brother ain't coming up and pulling up on you. Well, you know what I mean? If anything, the best he's going to be thinking about is a one-night stand. That's far as he's going to go.
Well, city friends and rainbow chicks. City 3 they like to shop at? You know that store in Rainbow? You ever heard those stores? City Trends, you ever heard that store?
Mm-hmm.
No. They got this store called City Trends and Rainbow. That's where all the hood rats shop.
I heard about those stores.
All of them.
And they all walking around looking trashy. And then you remember the movie, I'm Gonna Get You Sucker, when old girl starts taking everything off that
That's how these sisters are nowadays. I was like, hold up, because I went out with this one sister. I kid you not, she was so cool. But now this is my own problem. I'm sorry, but I am somewhat superficial. I ain't go front, okay? But she pulled off this wig, man, and I saw that head, and it just threw me out. It threw me out.
I don't know why women go on a date with a wig on. I really see let me see your hair first and then put it on. That way I won't have no surprises. I hate that.
Let me tell you what the problem is, bro.
I hate it.
Let me tell you what this is. This is coming from a sister, okay? Black women have gotten away. Black women are more into hairstyle than hair care. If you simply take care of your hair and put the time in that it takes to get your hair to be restored back into its natural texture, it will grow. It will grow, but it takes time. You have to take care of it. You have to nurture it. They're too lazy to do that. They'd rather just go get some stuff sold on their head. You know, they're not taking care of their hair, because if they were, they would be too. They wouldn't be putting that stuff. I mean, I don't have a problem with braids. I wear my braids, but all of that glue and that thread.
I'm gonna tell you something about all that. It's nothing wrong with weave if it's done. If you buy a good grade of weave and a professional sew it in your head, not track. I'm talking about, because you know what? They're watching that show, like Beyonce, her weave. You get weave like that, then you good. No brother's gonna have a problem with you. But let me, hold on. This is the last 20 minutes of the show. Every caller that's called in, you on the show right now. So if you got any questions, you can fire them off.
All right. This is the question I have. Actually, it's a statement. And it goes back to being truly who you are and being real. You understand? Just like she said, you have to be comfortable with your own ID. You have to be comfortable in your own skin. You understand? You don't see, I understand that women, you know what I'm saying, it's a different world. But for us men, you know what I'm saying, we wake up, put our legs in our pants one leg at a time. You understand? We don't need nothing really too superficial. We might get braids or fish bones or whatever, but that's with our natural hair. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
We do things. We don't need makeup, because that's what they call natural beauty. And that's what I think, you know what I'm saying, this Instagram and all these other, you know what I'm saying, things like that are condoning a fake look. Nicki Minaj is a fake look. You know what I'm saying? She looks good on stage. She looks good in videos. But if you take her
Nicki
home,
Minaj looks better when she
shots,
first came out.
Yeah. And if you take away those ass shots and those fake titties and shit, you know what I'm saying? She'll look like a boy. You know what I'm saying?
Let me suggest
that's what. And that's what, you know what I'm saying, these men are going for, because they don't understand what the definition of being comfortable in your skin. I don't want a female that got to be completely artificial. I'd rather have somebody, look, my hair ain't that long. You know what I'm saying, whatever, my nails ain't, you know what I'm saying, to a point where I want them, but that's just part of growing. If you learn how
let
to take
care
of yourself.
What thing is this? What's up with the multiple hair, nail colors and toenail colors? What's up with this rainbow stuff going on? You got like all this.
Can I tell you what? Look here. Here's the thing I want you guys to consider. And what the sister just said, too. There used to be a point in time in the 70s and early 80s, right or wrong, men were all about being pimps, and they investigated females, and they was real smooth in their approach, all right, whether it be their style of dress or what have you. Now, in this mama's boy generation, you got a lot of cats who think that busting a nut is victory. So they don't think about being smooth.
Yep.
They don't think about romancing. And because, respectful to women, some women are so bitter, they taught their daughters to just get what you want.
Yep.
That they allow these girls to go out here and just pick what they want, not something to keep. My last two points is, you remember when we was all young, some girls went and got with the old man, and then they kind of disappeared, and they was with that old man forever, it seemed like, or what have you. They've gotten away from that now. You know, now the single mother has taught that daughter, be scared of the old man. Don't go get the old man. I had to tell a sister the other day, I said, do you realize outside of America, May, December relationships last longer than American relationships? But I say all that to say this. When you said about why the different nail colors and everything, now girls are bombarded with yes men, the yes gay men and the yes women, and they're dressing for other women and not necessarily for men. You could tell a woman, hey, baby, I like that hairstyle better. And depending on her character, she's going to be, I think I'm going to try all these other 14 styles.
And yep. Yep. That's why I cracked up, because they said they're doing it for us. So I'm like, how you doing it for me? You ain't doing it for me. I just told you what I'm feeling. You went somewhere else. You're like, why don't you like this style? I can't say it other than the fact that
I don't like me.
It, it,
you're talking about I'm saying what I like. I always tell any woman, I've always liked the sexy, classy look. That's what I like. I like a woman that get them, you know, you get them French tips, and they get like with the pearl on the end of them or something like that, or the white.
That'll
you
work.
Know,
yep,
I mean, I like a woman that has a lot of mystery to her. I don't want you know, to be with a female that everybody know the all the line and the crack of your behind. I don't want you.
See, here's the problem, though.
The twerk,
problem,
like
though,
the twerk team. You know, yeah, everybody like looking at the twerk team, but would you wife up anybody in the twerk team? Miss Twerkson, would you wife
nah.
up? No. You like looking at them.
The problem with that.
Look,
the only
thing
I'm going to be
like, I got your girl, I got your wife on my laptop, man.
Here's the problem, though.
Simple,
just like you like all that, ain't nobody teaching her how to do that. Ain't nobody teaching her how to keep clean panties on, because the lesbian is up here telling her, hey, look, girl, you
oh.
beautiful. So what, you can't walk in them heels? Just keep trying. So what you kind of think? Okay.
Oh, wow,
what is up with that?
You know I'm keeping
get?
It real, though. I'm not even being funny. I'm just keeping it real. It's kind of like the dude who can't dress himself until that woman come in his life and probably teach him how to tie a tie because nobody ever taught him.
That's sad. Guy, on how to tie a tie. That's one of the first things I wanted to learn is how to tie a tie. Because to me, it's like it ain't nothing like putting on a 3-piece suit.
Man, you talking about the vest and hat underneath the suit and the whole hookup, the whole suit coat, the whole nine. We used to be sharp.
I love suits, bro.
Hold
I love.
We were sharp.
Let me go ahead and speak from my side real quick. You know what I'm saying? The true hero under God. You know what I'm saying? Me, I never liked the suits. I hate ties because just on a simple fact, I grew up in a church. And then after church, I went to a church school. Then after that, you know what I'm saying? It's like I couldn't find my identity. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of people out here that I hate suits. But, you know what I'm saying? I wear them when I have to. So, really, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
My interest wasn't
okay.
tying a tie. My interest was, you know what I'm saying? Hey, let me go out here, get some nice pair of jeans, maybe a white T-shirt, and let me go ahead and enjoy myself. Because I always hated shit that I guess it was a mentality of me being closed in because I hate shit that, you know what I'm saying, basically, like, it closes me in. I can't, you know, do
yeah,
what I
see,
want to.
Can I ask you a question?
Clothes.
I can ask
right.
you something. Are your jeans
Good.
Hanging off your ass?
No. Okay, let me tell you about that. Let me tell you about that mentality. First of all, that mentality. Okay, this is the mentality for that right there. The mentality for pants hanging off our ass was a hood tap. We understand that it came from prison, but it was a ghetto tap for letting the person know that you were strapped.
It's from
That's
gays
where that came
in prison.
From. Yeah,
whatever,
it came
yo.
From prison, but it's a hood tap to let people
prison.
Know in the hood that you were strapped. It wasn't supposed to be a fashion statement. That's why
it really was.
No,
it's
so
from
the
game.
To let him
though.
Know if you
I
want to
agree
blow me,
you
might
jeans.
Die.
I agree.
Right. Give everybody, hold on a second. Give me a second. The other caller just came in, 404, last four digits, 1557, letting you know you're on the show.
All right. See, it was a hood tap. If you walk up on me and my pants are sagging in a certain way, I'm strapped. If you run up and talk something and try to harm me, I'm going to kill you. That's where
what
that really came from.
But see, that's crazy to me because if you advertise it to me that you're strapped, see, let me just put it this way. See, some of these cats, see, this is the problem with some of these hood cats. Some of these cats don't realize you've got some cats who come out the military. Like I came out of the military.
Yeah,
if I roll up on you, and I see you advertising to me that you strapped, so I just take out my M16 and I pop you 300 yards away. I ain't got to worry about it.
Right. I didn't say, listen,
from the West Coast, and that wasn't a signal for us from the West Coast, you know, because cats was wearing Chuck Taylors and all this other stuff. When a cat was sagging like that, that just meant he was gay because everybody
right,
exactly.
but I'm
sitting around
like say, in different regions, in different
right.
regions,
gay,
it meant something
so I don't know
else,
how that transformed
in the South,
to that you were strapped.
No, in the
yes,
South.
He, when I was on the West because I'm a West Coast kid. So
I'm from the West, Florida. Because you know what I'm saying. That's how we did a hood tap. That's how
we
did a hood tap.
We kept our stuff baggy, so you couldn't tell who was strapped.
you couldn't tell who was what.
Exactly.
Everybody was there.
Right, right.
You know,
and that's what I liked about the West Coast. That's what I liked it about the West Coast, but you understand I grew up in the South. This is what my OGs before me were doing.
You know what's strange, man? I'm in the South now, man. What's so, because I'm originally from Oakland. And what's so funny
go
is...
Ahead. Old town.
No disrespect to nobody from the South, but it's kind of like I see a lot of false flagging. Now, I can't say Florida because
you're a Brown County
boy.
Right.
Y'all, you're
I'm
about
from Chicago,
family.
So I know what the real. I know the real about the
right,
real
right.
thugs and
gangs.
Right,
you're
going to
go right
here.
And all that. So,
okay,
you know,
let me tell you what I used to do because it used to be fascinating. It used to be funny to me. When I see a dude with a blue flag on the left side or, you know what I'm saying, on the wrong side or something, I walk up on him and be like, Kit Kat, Kuno, no Crenshaw, you can Captain Crunch, what's cracking, cuzzy? Huh?
you gonna you gonna talk to Lego? You ain't gonna do it.
I had to. Or I walk up on a dude with a red flag. I walk up on a dude with a red flag and be like, Big Back Bowling on Brenshaw, what's poppin'?
They don't know what that is, Joe. You don't tell them.
I used to set trip hard because it pulls their panties down because you niggas are girls. You don't understand what the flag means. You don't understand why the organization has started. You don't understand the green behind the five-point star, which is truth, loyalty, justice, and you know what I'm saying? I ain't finna really put all the information out there.
Don't throw it all out there. No.
You know what I'm saying?
Let them do research. Let them learn.
Right.
Or,
you know what I'm saying, if I ask you what's my three on my five, you couldn't even tell me anything because you don't know anything, and that's what kills me because you don't know what the fuck you're getting into. And this is something I learned about because my older brother's a Crip OG. My little brother is a blood capo. So this is something that, you know what I'm saying, was put into my life, not willingly, but I had to learn. So that way when I go to different sets and I learn different cultures, I learn how to blend in. Because in the West Coast, like you said, you can't wear blue in a blood neighborhood, and you sure enough can't be wearing red walking down Grape Street.
Man, you talking about getting wiped out quick. Yeah, I mean, brothers will roll up. You see 30 Negroes just come out of nowhere and just tear your ass up.
Right. And that's something I learned. That's something I learned from, no disrespect, from Eazy-E. That's why I liked Eazy-E when I was growing up. That's something I learned from Eazy-E. If you were real G, you were real G.
I had a friend from the West Coast station out here in Florida when I was in the Navy, but I was born and raised in Florida. And he'd see me wear a whole bunch of red and different colors and stuff. And, you know, you kind of, like, oh, man, you flamed up and all this stuff. And I'm like, let me explain something to you, man. This is Florida. We wear whatever fucking colors we want. You know what I mean?
Right. It's kind of silly now, to the point now that they thinking that, you know what I'm saying, Lil Wayne got being a blood as a trend. And I actually talked to a real OG, and
Hello?
He told me he would never respect anybody banging
in
the 90s.
Yeah, you there.
He would not respect anybody banging in the 90s because you haven't went through anything. You didn't have the cops ready to kill you. You didn't have an organized situation. Right now it's all about money.
They don't know nothing about
that. They didn't experience the real... They didn't go through the real stuff. What really happened? The West Coast did that originally to deal with the cops and all of this. That's originally how it came out. So the way they do it now, they talking about being thugs, and I'm like, man, y'all don't know what it's really about because back then it wasn't even about that.
Don't confuse them fake thugs with real ones that signify something.
Let me ask you something. Speaking about gangs, because in New York, I laugh at the New York Bloods and Crips because I know some real California Bloods and Crips, but in Florida, wherever you guys are, is it gang related to wear a Cincinnati Reds cap? Is that gang related?
No, not in Florida.
What you talking about? Explain what you're talking about. I'm trying to get what you're saying.
Because in New York City, because there's a lot of Bloods out in New York City, so wearing a Cincinnati Reds cap is gang related. I just found that out last week.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's not. Yeah. No. See, in Florida, we wear whatever color we want to. In the West Coast, you can't wear what color you want to. You wear it over there on a certain side, somebody might pop you, ask you, you know what I'm saying, what's popping? You know what I'm saying? Because that's the, you got to learn the culture. And that's what these kids are not understanding. It's the culture. That's why you have to learn to wear white or wear black. You can't wear brown in a blood neighborhood because that means war. You have to know the colors. You have to know different, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'm not here to give you the whole gang, you know, information
yeah,
or people that don't know so they can
copy. I was just asking about the Cincinnati Reds cap because in New York.
No, it's not. It's not gang banging. Because like I said, it's funny. It's funny because down here they got a gang called Black Flagging. And see, people don't even know where that originated from. See, Black Flagging is a form of a Crip. So, you know what I'm saying? You're supposed to be dancing on the devil's roof.
They went out of style already.
You supposed to be dancing on the devil's roof.
Nah, see, I grew up in South Florida with the real gang.
It kills me because I walked up on one dude with a blue flag. I ain't even pressing like that. I said, you know what? You know what I'm saying? I ain't finna say what I'm finna say. I said, cause you dancing on the devil's roof. What the fuck do you mean by that? Bro, I snatched the flag off him and slapped him.
The real gangs in Florida is the Haitian Zopals and Top Six.
That's South Florida.
Haitian gangs. Other than them,
you will get ripped to shreds by Haitians.
I was born in Miami, raised in Palm Beach. If it ain't Top Six or Zopal, they faking.
If they don't know the real Zoe, they fake. And I tell you, I tell them that to their face because I know niggas that's really with that Zoe.
I think Mac is locked up under the fucking jail anyway. So why would
I? I know one thing though. I know a lot of these younger cats though. See, even in the gangs, you represent and you respect the OG. You respect an OG. These cats today. They don't even got. See, there's a lot of stuff that's just missing. A whole bunch of just a whole lot of disrespect. Don't know what's going on. Don't know the history. Don't know the rules. Just don't know nothing. I mean, and they swear. And this is what makes me start laughing because I'm from the West Coast. So I'm sitting there talking about they real niggas, and I'm like, I'm sitting there laughing because I'm like, have you ever been to Compton? Have you ever been down to see what's going on in Inglewood? Have you been in San Fran on the other side of the bay? You seen what's going on in Sucker Free? You know what's going on in Oakland? I mean, these boys, they don't play. That ain't no joke. You can't be coming up here talking about all this.
See, you did a little
Let me interject here for a minute, everybody. I'm getting to about 3.5 minute mark on my show.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is, everybody else minus my guests, I'm going to go ahead and thank y'all for calling in. I'm going to wrap this up with my guests because the show's about to end. And I'm going to have another show on Thursday with Rashida, so y'all can call back and holler at her. But I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up.
Let me say something real quick.
Let me say something real quick before I got to leave. 3 minutes.
And it goes like this. You should have asked them, what messages are you getting behind the G-Wall? And if you don't know what a G-Wall is, you're supposed to walk the fuck away. That's all I'm going to say about it.
All right. I'll leave it at the G-Wall.
Is it?
Like, I don't know. I ain't got time for that sort of thing. I'm just trying to make my money. I ain't got time for all that slapping niggas and all that. I ain't got time. If it ain't producing money, I ain't doing it.
You said if it ain't producing you no money, you ain't got nothing to do with it. You ain't got nothing to do with it.
Like, where did this all come from? Like, I thought we were talking about girls with different color fingernails.
Yeah, ain't talking about slapping niggas. I'm like, all right, shoot. That'd be a World Star Hip Hop video right there. If I was there, I would record it for them World Star. I'd be
acting a fool. Found it off to the G-Wall.
Oh, man.
He was talking about Crispy Captain Crunch and all kind of stuff. I'm like, okay.
That's one of them things, you know, you just say you just love black people. They definitely just put a smile on your face. Yeah, that's all I always say about black people.
And I have
no disrespect
boring.
When I say that. I mean that with all respect. I love black people. Y'all keep, you know. But, you know, with Soul and Tommy Lee, I want to thank y'all both for coming to the show.
Great being here.
And very
perspective. Just let me know. Just you know, give me a heads up.
Okay.
I had a question for Tom, for Sister. I got a question though. You said you talked about the hair, black woman. I forgot how you put it, but
they
know
the hairstyle,
they don't
hair.
Yeah, that's it.
They're into the hairstyles and not the hair care. Now, can I ask you something? Because one of the biggest things that I see all across YouTube, I mean, it ain't like no shortage of black women checking out black hair videos. Lord help us. They're all over the place with black hair. So I'm like, can I ask you a question? If they were to apply that hair care and take that and adopt that principle to man care,
oh, Lord, that's a total different show. So
we got to talk about the show on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to start another show for that sort of a question right there. Boy, that's a total
I'm
all
long. I might do a video for you on that one, though, okay? So,
yeah, because I'm getting to about 30 seconds left.
I'm going to do a video for you on that one.
Please, do me the video. I want to see that because I'm like, yo, the hair care and the man care, if we can get that on point, well, we got something cooking right now. We're good.
Yeah.
Get something going right now.
Because, you know,
forget about the style, because that's that swag and all that. Let's get to the man care. Get to that. We can work on something on that.
All right, guys. I'm going to have to wrap it up. Got about 5 seconds left. But thank y'all for joining the show, and thank you, Soul and Tommy Lee, for coming on the show. And we'll see if we can put something else on another time. All right.
Good luck, bro, and great show.
All right, thank y'all.
Good night. All right.